Let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, God, that you are here, there, and everywhere. For those that could not make it this morning, God, that they would be assured that you are with them even now. And so, God, we just thank you right now, God. God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that your word, oh God, your word, God, would be planted in our hearts today. It would lift us up. It would encourage us. Oh God, it would give us instruction to go on. God, you said your word does not go out void, but it accomplishes that which it was sent to do. And so, God, we thank you right now for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now, we're going to dismiss our children. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Look at all these babies this morning. Amen. Thank you, God. Go, Amber. Amber, just bringing them in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We want to remember Robin, and as she just flies back to be with her dad, there's loss of her dad, her stepmom. Amen. And so we just want to pray over that flight. She'll be in the air about noon. And so we pray over that flight knowing that, you know, her life is in God's hands. Come on. And I always think it when I'm on the airplane that God has put an ambassador on board. Amen. That when we're on board, God's on board. Amen. And so we just thank God for Robin being on board that plane. I always think there's an assignment. There's somebody that needs a smile, a hug, a word from God. And when we're there, that's what they're going to get. Amen? Yeah. And so we thank God, but we also want to pray over her heart as she goes to just support her dad, and that she would have the words and what he needs in this time where he needs comfort right now. So we thank God for that. This morning, God has given me the word, and the theme is keep growing. So keep knowing, I'm sorry. Keep knowing so you can keep growing. And a lot of times we get to this place that we've heard it all before, you know, and we've heard that before. And if we're not careful, we lose the curiosity of knowing. And knowing, when you lose that curiosity of going on to know more, we get into this rut. I've already heard it. And if we're not careful, we will shut our ears down. And it's almost like we got to do this monkey show and dance to make people's ears to become alert to learn more. Because when you say love, people say, oh, I've heard that before, you know. And we don't want to get like that. We want to keep knowing. We want to keep our hearts curious to the Word of God so that we can keep growing. It's only by having that heart to know more that we can keep growing. Our key verse that I want to read this morning is coming out of Jeremiah 9:23-24 in the Amplified Bible. And it says this: thus says the Lord, let not the wise and skillful person glory or boast in his wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his power. That not the person who is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth glory and boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And so the Lord is saying that You may have all these things that you may be wise. You may be a wise and skillful person. You may be mighty and powerful. But God wants us to glory in that we know him. That's what God said. That's where I take delight, that you know him and that you know his character. God said, and that I am the Lord. That's where God says that he takes his delight. Man may take delight in wisdom and in might and in power, and we might get old googly-eyed and in awe over those things, but God is saying, no, the thing that I take delight in is that you know me. And that I am the Lord. Come on. That's what God wants us to know, that we know him and that he is the Lord. He takes delight in those things. In Hosea 6 and 3, in the New Living Transition, it says this: oh, that we might know the Lord. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Come on, there's a lot of things we can know. But in Hosea says, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn and the coming of rains in the early spring. Oh, that, and one thing that in Hosea, it didn't say, oh, that I may know the Lord. Right here, Hosea is encouraging everybody, oh, that we, God's people, oh, that we would know the Lord. And then he goes again. He didn't say, let me press on. He's, the encouragement is, let us press on. Let us, Hosea is encouraging God's people, let us press on to know him. And then as we know him, he will respond to us. So there's an encouragement, not just about me knowing the Lord this morning, that the encouragement is to the body of Christ. Come on, let us press on to know the Lord. And let us press on to really know him. And it's about us coming together. And when we come in this place and we come together in the house of the Lord, it is that we're coming together so that we can know. I'm not just about me getting it this morning. I'm about us all receiving, us knowing the Lord. Any version in the Amplified, the word know, that he's focusing on, to know means to recognize, to be acquainted with, and to understand him. God wants us to know, to recognize, to be acquainted with, and to understand him. God longs for us to know him deeply, to appreciate him, to give heed to what he is saying, and to cherish him, not just know about him. Our spiritual growth is tied to our pursuit of him. When we seek him intimately, and we grow in faith, in love, and purpose. Knowing versus knowing about. So there's a difference between knowing of someone and truly knowing them, right? Example, there's many people that know about a celebrity, okay? And they've watched People's News and all those things on TV and read People's Magazines, and they know about a celebrity. But their closest friends and family are the ones that truly, truly know them, right? Those that walk with them every day. We can just read a magazine and regurgitate what the magazine has said about them or what we've learned about them on the news, but we're not really walking with them. God doesn't want us just to acknowledge him and his existence. He desires us to have an intimate relationship with us. So we know this week there, has been a lot of, green wearing, and I'm wearing green so I don't be pinched. And but do we really know about St. Patrick? And so one of the things was that, I really really didn't cross my mind until, you know, Pastor was calling me and you know, I was at home and he was saying that, you know, the people in the office wearing green because St. Patrick, and so, you know, don't, you know, when you go out in town, you know, you don't want to be pinched and, you know, these kind of things. But it didn't really hit me that there was more to this. And so I had, later on that night, I came home and just kind of was passing my TV in my bedroom, and there was a whole documentary on St. Patrick. So I stopped, and I was like, and what kind of hit me was the man was talking about St. Patrick, how he was responsible for over, I can't say the number again, 12,000, was it 12,000, babe? 12,000 baptisms that he personally did. And I stopped and said, what'd you say? I didn't know that, you know? And that, so that stopped me right there. You know, the green thing didn't stop me, but right there I was like, what'd you say? Let me listen to this. And then that he was responsible in his legacy for starting 300 churches in Ireland. I didn't see y'all say that. That's what I said. Wow. You know, I was like, wait a minute. My ears peaked up to that. And then it was that, you know, the green represents the three-leaf clover that really wasn't important to me at all. It's just a pretty little green-leaf clover. But that was his way of preaching the Trinity all over Ireland. I said, what? And I was... He took, because in Ireland they had many other gods that they worshipped, and he took that three-leaf clover and preached the Trinity to bring out the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, I did not know that he was a slave. Did y'all know that? He was sold as a slave at 17 years old. And that when he was sold as this slave, he went into slavery, but he also escaped slavery and went back to Ireland so that he wanted to preach the gospel to the place that he was born. And so he began to do that and go back to Ireland and begin to preach and start churches. He was also responsible for writings that brought out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was his heart, was that even though he had went through a lot of persecution, that his heart was that in Ireland that they would know Jesus Christ. And I was like, man, what we don't know. What we don't know and what we think is insignificant, like, oh, that's, you know, just putting on a green and not knowing. And this is what God is saying in his word. He said, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. The things that we don't know, the things that we don't go on to know, the narrowness of our mindset of the parts that we know about our history, you know what I'm saying, but that we don't know about other history and people that are living for God, walking for God, being persecuted for God, you know, that we stop very short. And sometimes, you know, one thing I love about my husband is that he is a history buff, and he constantly, you know, when he turns on TV, he's constantly trying to find out about our world and our history of our world, not just my square world, but, you know, in my square, but all over the land, he wants to know what's going on. And as we, you know, sometimes we waste a lot of time, you know, in a lot of foolishness, but there is, and sometimes, you know, there's so much history being made and so many things going on that sometimes we go into our nothing box where we just want to hear something fun and something to laugh about. And so, you know, there's just so much news that goes on, but there's also so much news that if we find out about it, when I found out about, you know, St. Patrick, he talks about this man that's ready to stand for Christ, die for Christ. They even over there, they compare him to King David, that King David was a pastor, you know, a pastor that was pastoring people in his age. They compare St. Patrick to pastoring the people in Ireland. And not just about any old thing, but he was pastoring them about our King Jesus. And so that, you know, really touched my heart that, you know, as I was standing there, I would have been watching Lifetime, okay? You know? But it so happened that, you know, during the day, I watched a lot of Christian pastors, and so my channel was right there, so it just, boom, there it was this information about St. Patrick, and I thought, thank you, God, that my TV was right there, because I might have got stuck off in Lifetime, you know, one of my Lifetime movies, and I would have missed this pertinent information that is good information to know about someone who's making this wonderful stand for Christ and is affecting a whole country. One man, and all of us are one. And I thought, boy, if we just got into our purpose like that, to affect where we're at with the news of Christ, with the good news of Jesus Christ, with what he has done. Man, what a world this would be if all of us would take it seriously, what our purpose is in that area to affect our area of, you know, where we're at with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in this scripture, God is saying to know him. He wants us to know him. And there's so much stuff we can know in this world today, right? But God wants us to know him. And God wants us to know him so that we can share him. In, I like how Hosea says that in, oh, that we might know the Lord. When he's saying that with a passion of, oh, that, I'm just telling you guys, you know a lot of stuff, but oh, that we may know the Lord. He says, let us press on to know him. There's a lot of things that we can know about, but Hosea, I'm encouraging you this morning. There's so many things that we can know about, but he says, oh, that we would press, because it takes a press, because there's so many distractions and so many other things that we can go out after, but Hosea is saying, come on, I just want to encourage you to let us press on to know him. Him. And why? Because he will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rain in early spring. And he's saying, this he that I'm talking about that will respond to us is not just any old he. He that I'm talking about that will respond to us will respond to us. He that has the answers to every problem, has the solution to every need. If we will press on to know him, I'm talking about him this morning. Press on to know the he that has the answer to everything, that has a solution. If we would press on to know him, we would be in good standing this morning. If we would just press on to know him. Knowing God isn't just about facts. It's about experience. It's about a relationship with the true and the living God. It's about experience. You know, it's not about facts. And I was thinking this morning that, like everybody else, like even St. Patrick or any of the great people, Martin Luther King, any of those people that we know facts about, they died. And they didn't come back. But the one that we're talking about, King Jesus, hallelujah, he died, yeah, and he came back. Yeah. And he keeps on living, and he keeps on sharing, and he keeps showing, and he keeps empowering. He keeps on, I mean, come on, down through the ages, all the way up to our age. King Jesus still is showing, empowering, helping us to know things even today. Knowing God leads us to growth. Growth comes from staying connected to him. In John 15, 4 through 5, in the New Living Transition, it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Come on. Because he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. See, this is why we need to know him. Because he says, for apart, you can know everybody else. But he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And somebody says, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing some things. But God is saying, from apart from me, you can do nothing of lasting and eternal value. Oh, you might do some things, but those things die with you when you die, you know. But apart from me, you can do nothing that really lasts and has eternal value. In the Amplified Bible, when it talks about remain in me, he said, live in me and I will live in you. Live in me, live in me, live in me, my way of doing things, my principles, and I will live in you. Live in me and I will live in you. The more we seek God, the more we grow spiritually. The more we seek God. God wants us to seek him. The more we seek God, the more we grow spiritually. Our faith, our character, and purpose in God is strengthened. Want to be like God? Seek God. Want to have his character? Seek God. Want to have more faith in God? Seek God. God is saying the more we seek him, the more we grow in him and we grow spiritually. If we're weak spiritually, we need to seek God.
Hallelujah.
What do we want? We have to ask ourselves, what do I want? I want to be more like God. I find in myself, I want to love like God. I want to talk like God. I want to walk like God. I want to do the works of God, see the miracles of God. So that means that I have to seek God. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, it says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rather, it means there's some things that you are seeking, but if you really want this, you need to do this.
Right.
You need to ask yourself, what do you want? I'd rather have God. You know, we sing that song, I'd rather have God more than silver and gold.
Right.
Well, then you need to grow in God.
Right.
We can say we'd rather have God more than silver and gold, but be running hard after silver and gold and seeking hard after silver and gold. And that's our treasure, silver and gold. And then sometimes silver and gold cannot keep us. We find that when we get on that road, silver and gold can be up. You know, people are into stocks and bonds, and stocks and bonds can crash in a day, and they've lost their mind because they've been seek God, so that when silver and gold and relationship and those things fail you, God will never fail. God will never. Do I got witnesses in the house that God has never, ever failed me? I know that when everything is with, even when I have failed myself, failed my own self, God is right there. And he's right there, says, I'm here and I love you. And you still worth so much to me. When I look and think that I'm just a failure, God says, no, you're worth so much to me. And he says, I've done this one thing that when the devil is talking to you about your unworthiness, you turn around and say, but did you die for me? He died for me. And he died for me while I was yet a sinner. And devil, while you're talking to me right now, I have to remind myself that while I was yet a sinner not doing it, God thought I was worthy to die for. And no matter what day of the week, he still thinks I'm worthy. And no matter how low of a pit I get in, he still thinks I'm worthy. And that's why I'm going to seek him. That's why I'm going to go hard after him. Because he has went hard after me and gave his very own life. Every day he lets me know how much he loves me. Knowing God changes how we love. Really knowing God. See, you want to love people better, then you need to know God better. Because when you really know how much God, when you know about his love just for yourself, okay? Just, see, when we can't love others, it's because we really don't know the abundance and the greatness of God's love for us. But when I think of his love and how he loved me when I was when I looked in my mirror and was disgusted with me.
Hallelujah.
And why? And I would ask, God, why do you love me? Why haven't you just walked away and gave up on me? Because he said I would never leave you nor forsake you. I said I love you with an everlasting love. This is everlasting. Everlasting is not when you're all cute and you're all good and you're all wonderful. That's not everlasting love. Everlasting love is when you look stank and you act stank and you're nasty and you're filthy and I still love you. He said, that's everlasting love. And he said, and when I really get that, I mean, that's what you really mean. And that's not because you say it, God. That's because I know it from experience. I've had experience of him loving me in the darkness. I've had experience of him loving me in the nasty. I've had experience of him loving me when everybody else gave up on me. I've had experience. And that's why I can say, I'm sticking with him. I'm sticking with him. I'm sticking with the one that loves me at all times, in all situations. I'm sticking with him. He has an intentional love. It's not a mushy, mushy love. It's a love in the dire ook of life. God still loves me. Natalia, don't he? He still loves us. And thank God. He still loves us. And when I get a hold of that kind of love, when I really get a hold of that kind of love, and I understand that kind of love that he has for me, how can I not love you? How can I not love you when you're treating me crazy and when you're nasty to me? How can I not still love you when he still loves me? But I've got to get a real concept of that love. And when I get a real concept of God's love, then I can love you more perfectly. When we experience his love, that is something that I want to give somebody. It's something, when I experienced that place where nobody wanted to be around me and they was like talking about me, but he was right there. When I experienced that, then when somebody else is going through that, I know what that's all about. I know what it's all about for somebody to say, you know what? I've done this. I've committed adultery and nobody loves me. I know what that's like. And so now I can go, I've learned to put down my stones.
Come on, preacher.
I've learned to put down my rocks because I've been in situations and experiences where I was cowered over and rocks should have been coming at me, but it was Jesus that was protecting me and letting me know, oh, baby girl, that's all right. They trying to throw rocks at you, but I'm about to let them know he who is without sin, let them throw the first stone. They going to walk away. When they really think about it, they going to walk away. Come on. That's my Jesus. That's my God. That's the love that we have. That's the knowing. And you know what? Today I come to affect your knowing. We got our knower. There's got to be a knower on the inside that says, I know that 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 he loves me. And that knowing comes from experiences. And some of you guys are wondering this morning, why did I go there? Why did I do that? I wish, and your life is so full of regrets. But let me tell you what. If you didn't have regrets, you wouldn't know him. If you didn't go there, you wouldn't know him. And so don't let the enemy just drown you in regrets. And stand up and say, because I went there, I have a relationship with God. I have a knowing about God. I have a peace about God. I have a confidence in God. Because I went there and I found out he was there. He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'm right there. If you make your bed in hell, I'm right there. See, some of us like to know if we ascend toward the heavens, he's there. Some, we like that part. If I ascend toward the heavens. But what about us that have made our bed in hell? He said, I'm right there. I'm right there. I know it for a fact. He's right there. Come on. He's in Ecclesiastes 3:18, he says this, may you have the power to understand. And what God wanted us to understand was how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. You know, in the world, they used to sing, how deep is your love? You know, y'all, some of y'all know that song. It's back in our day. Okay. But that was man's love. I don't care how much a man or a woman says they love you. They can't love you as much as God. But God wants us to know. He said, I want you to know. And knowing only comes from experience. Just to say, I love you this wide. Okay, God says, I love you wide. But he didn't just say, I love you wide. He got up on the cross and went, I love you wide. He opened those arms up and let them be nailed to a cross to say, I love you wide, right? How long? And God is long-suffering through the whole Bible up to this day. God is still loving mankind. Although we can ignore him, walk away from him, he's still long. I love you. I want you to know that I love you long. He says, I love you deep. How deep? He went into the heart of the earth. He went into the grave for us. How deep is your love, God? He went into the grave for us. And how high? He rose again. He didn't just stay there, but he got up just like he said he would for us. He conquered the grave for us. God's love is deep and wide, and it's not just a conversation. It's a life that he gave for us. A lot of people can talk a good game. Some of us are falling for the game. Some of you singles are falling for the game. But it's an action word. Love is an action word. It's not just good talk. It's an action word. And God, he did that. He acted on our behalf. Paul's desire when he said this that and was saying that, may you know and understand how wide, how deep, how high God's love was he didn't just want to serve God by, you know, just head knowledge. But he wanted to serve us to serve him by heart, our hearts. Yeah. Not just, a lot of us got head knowledge of God. Yeah. But we haven't yet got heart knowledge of God. And that's why sometimes we're so up and down and in and out. Because it's still in the head. It hasn't got to the heart. When it really gets to the heart, we want to please him. We want to serve him because it's gotten out of that theory, but to the knowing that God is who he says he is and he means exactly what he says. In Philippians 3:8, it says, yes, everything else, and this is Paul again, Paul was saying, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let's understand this. Paul was a smart man. He was a smart man. He was a well-to-do man. He was in far as the Roman, from where he came from. He was noble. But he said, I count that stuff as nothing. I count that all this knowledge and knowing, and I can go stand before the Romans, and I count that as nothing. Nothing compared to the value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In the Amplified, it says, compared to the possession of, and I love how he said this, in the Amplified, how it brings it out, it says, compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, here it's letting us know that compared to all the stuff that we can know, it's a priceless privilege. Money can't buy knowing Christ. All the money in the world is not better than the privilege of knowing Christ. He said the overwhelming preciousness. There's something precious about knowing Christ. The overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage. Do you guys know that it's some people want an advantage in life, and we're constantly trying to have this advantage of getting over and getting ahead, but there's no better advantage than knowing Christ. No better advantage than knowing Christ. I don't care what you're trying to do. God is the one that gives you favor. Supernatural favor. I'm amazed at people that get jobs that they didn't even have any skill or knowledge in. We have seen people come in, they had no skill, no knowledge, go out to Boeing, and we know a young lady didn't have nothing, went out there, just, I'm going to do it because God, I'm going to go for this. God's help. Didn't know any of it, but went out there and God got her a job. See, sometimes we want to depend on, but we got something better than ourselves, you guys. When our knowledge is nil and zero in certain things, don't count yourself out. That's why he said he can take us before kings. And some of us say, not me, I don't talk right. Remember poor Moses? He was making up all these excuses. He was like, I don't talk right. I can't do it. I can't. All these excuses. And God was just, you know, he was like, what's that in your hand, Moses? And all Moses could see was a rod. But with God, a rod could turn into anything that Moses needed, right? And that's the same thing with us. All I see is me. And God is saying, but with me, I can use you and take you anywhere that I need you to go. With me, I'll take you in front of kings. With me, and you'll baffle their minds in front. Pastor Linda will baffle their minds with God in front of kings. Sometimes we demote ourselves and forget that we have God. We have the all-surpassing favor. Come on. All-surpassing strength. All-surpassing when we have God. And we need to start walking in rooms and walking in places. And I'm not talking about being cocky in our flesh, but we need to be confident in our God. And we need to be walking in rooms knowing, no, I might can't dot every I and say everything right, but with God, come on, with God, they're going to be amazed. They're going to be amazed and looking at you like, where did you get that from? From God. The more we know him, the more we will start reflecting his love to others. We got to, if we really know him, then we can share from a place of knowing. That's how people come to Christ, when we share from a place of knowing. And you guys, we got to get to a place of knowing, because when we go to people, we don't want to be going wishy-washy. And people are saying, you, they're bringing their defeat, they're bringing their pain, they're bringing, and we're like, yeah, girl, I know. I know what you're feeling. Now, I mean, I'm talking about in agreement that I'm still feeling that way. Yeah. Now, I can say I've been there and God has done something, but not in that, yeah, girl, I know. You know, people are crazy. I can't stand people. I know just what you're talking about. See, we're walking in. No, we're not walking in the Word. When we know God, we know that we have something powerful that has bought us out and will bring them out. And so that is what we share, unless we're not bought out, okay? And then we got to check that place there. But when we're bought out, we should be the ambassador of good news. Good news is powerful news, victorious news. Come on. Resurrected news, that's what good news is. It's telling them what we can do through the power of the resurrection. And that's what God wants us to share. It's that kind of love that we can share when we really know God. When we know how much God, to know God is to know how much God loves people. Oh my God, God loves everybody. It didn't say that he died for the good people. For God so loved the world, he died for the good people. For God so loved the world, he died for the black people. For God so loved the world, he died for the smart people. For God so loved the world, he died for the skinny people. It didn't say all the, there's not those distinctions that we make. God, for God so loved the world. The whole world. The people in jail, the murderers, the liars, the backslide. God, for God so loved the world. You know what? Because we kind of forget once we get to church that we once was. We once was that, okay? For God so loved the world. And when we get that, that's the knowing. The only way we're going to affect this world is get the knowing of God's love for the whole world. Not just for me, but for the whole world. So that when I look at somebody, I'm looking at somebody that God loves. No matter how they're acting, I'm looking at somebody that God loves. No matter how cranky they are, no matter how out of sorts they are, I am looking at somebody that God loves. And when we get that in our mind, we'll treat people different. Instead of, I'm looking at somebody who's personally hurting my feelings. No, I'm looking at somebody that God loves. So dearly loves that he died for them. And then we will treat them differently. We have to start seeking him to know him better. We have to seek him daily. We hear these things, but remember, this is knowledge that we can say, I already know that. It's not about what you already know. It's do you do it? Okay? Seek him daily. Daily seeking the Lord. Every day. Because you're going to be seeking something. Okay? So what to be with God and strong in God, we got to seek him daily. That can be through prayer, through worship, through studying the Word. Because seeking him daily helps us to stay connected. We got to surround ourselves with others who pursue him. And yes, we're talking to the lost, but make sure you have somebody that's helping to gird you up in the Lord, speaking truth into your life and speaking truth. You guys, we want to know him, and knowing him means that we want truth. We don't want people that's just agreeing with our mess. Oh, please don't let, I always tell my husband, don't let me go to hell. I don't care how I act. Don't sit up here and let me go to hell. I don't care if I get mad. I don't care if I slam the door. Tell me the truth. Don't just sit up here and tell me you love me and you scared to tell me the truth. Come on, brothers and sisters. We scared to tell each other the truth. Then that means I don't love you. If I can't tell you the truth, I don't love you. I'm letting you go on in an erroneous way. That was pretty good. June, did I say it right? Okay. Erroneous way. And I'm letting you do that, but I say, I love you. No. You guys, we might not get it right. You know, we might not get it right. It's scary telling people the truth sometimes. You know, because, you know, you're trying, when you come out the world and you come in the church, you had a way of talking and you had a way of doing, and now you're kind of like, you know, speak the truth in love. And, you know, and in your mind, you're thinking, in the world, what I'm doing right now, I am speaking the truth in love. If you had saw me out there, this is way more love, you know. But it still don't mean that it's the love that God is talking about. So sometimes we compare ourselves with yesterday instead of comparing ourselves to the Word of God. So speak the truth in love and let each other know, wait a minute, you're off. That's off. That's not right. And you guys, let's be more accommodating when someone's trying to tell us the truth. Let's be like, you know, sometimes you got to say it just right. You got to say it, you know, or else I can't receive that. No, let me be in the street and you yell at me. And I say, don't yell at me. Say it sweet. I'm going to get hit. Okay? So let's receive it because it's truth. And then we'll work on how we say it a little more clearly, but let's help each other to tell each other the truth, because that's what we need. That's love. Is I be thinking, boy, if I was standing around Peter and Jesus said, "Get be," when he started talking, and then he said, "Get there behind me, Satan," some of us would have fell to the ground. We would have got out of it. We wouldn't have been a disciple anymore. You embarrass me. Come on, isn't that true? So we got to get to a place. I was thinking last night how Jesus went through all this stuff, the knowing that he can. His whole word keeps showing us what we're going to go through. I thought about that scripture when Jesus had all them followers. And we're talking about not two people walked away, but a multitude of people walked away because what? They didn't like what Jesus said. They felt like that's a hard saying. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, will you also leave? Because he knew that truth has to come out no matter what. Truth. Knowing God is that, you know, if somebody was in, T.D. Jakes says sometimes when you're in the pool and somebody's drowning, they almost have to, and they're kicking and stuff, and they could take you under too, you might have to knock them out. You might have to do a hard thing just to get them in. But isn't that true, guys? That sometimes we got to do a hard thing because the devil is doing a hard thing. And he's not playing. And he wants to kill us. And he wants to take us out. And got to do whatever it takes to make sure that we're not killed, all right? If we want to be saved, he's going to save us. We got to obey the word. Growth comes through obedience. Knowing God means that we got to obey his word. We can't just talk it. We got to obey it. And then we got to share what we know, right? God has called us to share what we know. God is calling us into this morning. God is calling us into a deep, from that scripture, oh, that we would press on to know him. God is calling us into a deeper relationship. God is calling us into a deeper relationship. Over here, God is calling you to a deeper relationship. 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 God is calling you, Pastor Linda, to a deeper relationship. Not just this head knowledge of what you've been knowing all along, but heart knowledge. We're going to have to yield to some experiences that we don't want to go through to know him in a better way. We have to want to keep knowing to keep growing. We want to have to keep knowing to keep growing.
Yeah.
I want to grow in faith. How about you?
Amen.
I want to grow in love.
Yeah.
And I want to grow in purpose.
Yeah.
When we say these things, there are things and experiences that's going to come our way to cause that growth.
Yeah.
It's coming. And when we ask for it, it's coming. But we're going to have to commit to pressing on to know him more. God said we're not weak as we sometimes come across. He has given us enough strength to stand through the testing and the trying of God. God puts no test on us that he doesn't already know. I've put enough in you to stand the test. He said, we got to stop falling and we got to stand. And what he said, stand and after done all,
stand.
I put enough strength in you to do that. There are people in the Bible, and I'm going to give you these examples, and I want you to read up on them. There are people in the Bible that they didn't go on to know God. The disciples before the resurrection, these people, Philip said this, even though he walked with Jesus, walk was a disciple Jesus. He says this to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He'd been walking and Jesus had been talking and realize just because you're here, if you don't open your ears and your heart, and to receive and say, Lord, help me to receive. You'll be like Philip. Philip had been walking with Jesus. Jesus had been talking about the Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus had been talking about it. But Philip asked this question, and he said, well, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. And then Jesus says, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still do not know who I am? And there are situations where we're like, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Are you really God? Are you really God? Even John the Baptist, when it was time to get, you know, he was in prison, he sends the disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one? Or do we need to seek for another? Sometimes we're still in that, are you really the one? Now remember, He's a loving God. But his thing is, it's like you're sitting under all this word. He said, you're reading your word, and you still don't know me. What is missing in this equation? God wants us to, he does, because we can be sitting under word and just to know to tell somebody. But not, you know, we can regurgitate scriptures. But to know, to live it out. When the season comes to live that scripture out, we can falter. And God is like, no, I don't want you just to know it in your head. I need it in your heart, because I'm not just going to give you a head test. I'm going to give you a life test. And when the life test comes, I want you to pass it. I want you to pass it. Philip had walked with Jesus for years, but still didn't fully grasp who he was. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know who Jesus was. He was walking right with them after the resurrection. And two disciples walked and talked with Jesus. But God kept them from recognizing him. They knew because they knew about him, but their understanding of who he was and what he had accomplished, it was incomplete. That's why God said, go on to know him. Because sometimes we understand this limited amount, but we need to go on to know him in a more complete way. Judas Iscariot, and I don't know why I just love Judas. And I do, and people call him the betrayer, and they say, but he betrayed Jesus. We do it. Judas Iscariot. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and he lived and he traveled and slept with Jesus and ministered with Jesus for 3 years. but he never truly knew him. He had a treasure that was bigger than knowing Jesus. And sometime that treasure, he had his own agenda. He had his own way of doing things that never let him truly embrace Jesus and his way. He was like, this can't be the way. I know that Jesus is going to come and tear these Romans up and tear their... He had an agenda that he couldn't... Do we have an agenda that won't let us embrace God and truly know him? God wants us to get rid of our own agendas so that we can truly know him. He cared more, and they said he was a thief, and he was stealing the money. He cared more about money than about the mission of Jesus. Walking with, can you imagine that? I just think in my mind, if I was walking with Jesus and I saw all those miracles, and I would just think that, oh, man, I would just be all just faithful toward Jesus. But you know what? I look at me right now, and I've experienced great miracles in my life. And yet there's been days of great doubt and great backup in my life. And thank God that we can go and repent. And thank God I know that I can. See, what got me was, how come Judas didn't know Jesus to that point that he could have turned around and said, Jesus, I'm sorry. He didn't say, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry I did that. I was scared. I thought you was going to come this way, and it didn't line up with... Why couldn't he confess all that?
Right, right. Oh, God.
Because he didn't quite know him like that.
Help us today,
God. Oh, that we would know him that way. That no matter what trip up the devil tries to trip us up, that we know our Jesus well enough to know that I can go back to him and I can repent and I can tell him I'm sorry and I can believe when I ask for forgiveness that he has forgiven me. I don't have to go hang myself. Because I know my Jesus. The religious leaders at that time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they studied scripture diligently. Come on. But they failed to recognize Jesus as the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
So it doesn't mean that just because you study, it's why are you studying? And for what are you studying?
Hallelujah.
To build yourself up? For you to look good?
Hallelujah.
Are you studying to know God? Are you studying to know him? In John 5, and I'm about to end on this, the 39th through the 40th verse, Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. They point to me. Are you searching for me? He says, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. He said, you're all up in the scriptures. The Pharisees and stuff, they could memorize scriptures and they could say scriptures from memory. And Jesus says, you search the scriptures, but the scriptures are pointing to me. I'm standing in that day. He was standing right, but I'm right here.
Hallelujah.
I'm here. The one the scriptures are pointing to, I'm right here.
Yeah.
But he said, but you refuse to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
You refuse to come to me and receive life. You're ignoring me. You're saying I'm not the one, but the scriptures are letting you know I am the one. But no, you're refusing that. And then he says in Matthew, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
You are here.
He said, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Because he says, you say, Lord, Lord, but he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how I know that you love me. People can do religious works in his name. Quote religious scriptures in his name and still not know him personally. Come on, we want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. These examples show that being around Jesus being around Jesus, hearing his teachings, and even performing religious acts do not guarantee truly knowing him. True knowledge of Jesus comes from an intimate relationship, faith, and a transformed heart. It's not about just being in proximity of Jesus, our religious activity. It means that I am really having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Coming to church this morning, I'm putting a check in the box. I did it. Doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus. Because what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? When you get up in the morning, it's Jesus. When you're going through struggles, is it Jesus? When you don't have the answer, is it Jesus? All week long, is it Jesus? We can raise our hands up and sing, but do we have a relationship with Jesus? As we stand, thank you, God.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, God. I want to know you more, God. I want to know you. I want to know you. I just don't want to know about you, but I want to know you through experience, right? This morning, I want you to think about it. Have you got to a place where it's just by rote? Remember how I said that for the longest, where our church used to be, we had moved here, and for the longest, I knew that church, you know, direction. I didn't have to think. I would find myself sitting in front of our old church because by rote, I knew the way to get there, and I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, it hits me, oh, this is not where we're at. That was when we had moved to the school. I'm supposed to be at the school. And so I knew it by rote so that I would be sitting in front of our old church, but I had to start knowing how to get to our new church. Some of us are knowing God by rote, what he used to do, how he did that in this situation. There are new situations in your life that you have to have. I love how the manna fell from heaven. And God said, when the manna came from heaven, he said, eat the manna for this day. This day. He gives us our daily bread. You guys, don't think about that yesterday's word is going to be the word for your situations of today. So you don't need to pray. You don't need to open your Bible. You don't need to say, Lord, show me today. Let's not follow Jesus by just a habit of what he has done already. Because Jesus wants to do things for this day. And there's new things coming this day that you're going to need God to show you himself. And he wants to keep getting, what did he say, from glory to glory to glory. Don't you want to go there? Glory to glory to glory. So that means seeking God for this day's glory. Anybody this morning, in your heart, this has touched your heart. I want more of God. Just come, pray with me as we are praying. Father, I want more of you. I just don't want the same way of thinking towards you, God. If my thinking isn't causing me to be enlarged, I want to think in my situations, God, you're bigger today than you was yesterday. You're greater today than you was yesterday. That mountain that's looming before me today, God, you're greater. And I want you to show me the greater you today. Today. Thank you,
give you every part.
Oh, Lord,
of
we
me.
Thank you right now, God, for everyone that's standing here. God, we just bow our hearts to you. We humbly come to you, God. God, and ask for more humility where we think we've got you wrapped, God, where we know you in such a perfect way, God, that we can just walk out without calling on you. Help us to know you better, God. Give us a yearning, God. Blessed are those that seek after you, God. That hunger and thirst, God. Oh, God, help us not to have gotten so used to your food that we don't even have a hunger for you. We just kind of like push it around on the plate. But, God, we hunger and thirst after you. As David says, as the deer panted for the water, so my soul thirsteth after you, God. We want more of you. We want more of you. And God, we know that you want to give us more. God, everyone that is standing, God, right now, God. Oh, God, fill them up, God. Fill them up for today, God. Fill their souls today, God. Oh, God, fill them with the water. Fill them with the bread for this day, God. Let them see you in a bigger way. Oh, God, enhance. Enhance your goodness and your greatness in their lives this very day. So, God, that the work that you call them to do this day, God, the enhancement causes them to walk out in more confidence in a knowing of the great God that they serve. For the big problems that come today, God, you're bigger. You're greater, God. Oh, God, for the bigger concerns, for the bigger things that need solutions today, God, they're walking out on that more of you today in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you. We thank you for your bigness in our life. Oh, we thank you. You are a great God. You are a great God. And we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you go back to your seat, for those that maybe here this morning, and you just need to come back home right now in the name of Jesus. Yes.
I give you all love me.
Okay. Okay. So she has a friend that's going through something right now, an emergency right now. And so even right now, God is talking to us about his bigness. And she's going to share that, and we're going to come in with her. Amen. To our big God. Yes. Does she? Yeah.
I'm praying for God to let me say this the way that I should.
Yeah. Okay.
God gave me the words.
Jesus, in your name.
In Jesus' name, please. My friend and her 9-year-old son are trying to flee from domestic violence in the courts. Are making her give her baby to him more, and the guardian ad litem is not listening to him, and he cries every time he has to go, and he's autistic, and I'm just praying for God to move the judges and whoever he needs to hear this child.
Yes.
And heal him and get him out of harm's way.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And his mother, too.
Amen. Is Miss Cindy here? Miss Cindy, can you come up and pray with us? Miss Cindy, I believe in what others are going through and have gone through. Believe in that prayer. Yes. And we do pray over children that are in homes that they're afraid and they don't, their voice isn't being heard. And we pray for that voice to be heard. Yes.
It's just filling my heart. It's all I can think.
Yes. And I want you to say, okay, right here before you, we have this wonderful couple who's standing in the gap for a young man. And so far, God has blessed them that his voice has been heard, right? And